Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. As mentioned, today's shiur is Daf Pei. However, please note, we will be beginning from the Mishnah that's 8 lines from the top of Daf Pei Omid Beis. Now, some of you are Daf Yomi purists, so you might be interested in starting Daf Pei at the very beginning of Pei Omid Aleph. You will find that on our Daf Ayin Tes recording at the 1 hour 10 minute 24 second mark of the Daf Ayin Tes recording. So Daf Pei Omid Aleph was included in our Daf Ayin Tes recording. Today's Daf Pei Shiur in Gemara Markings begins from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Omid Beis, 8 lines from the top. The topic is featured in our topic heading on the side, the Nosei, Dinei Yichud. That you can see we've written in the margin. The rules concerning Yichud. Yichud is the situation where a man is alone in private with a woman other than his own wife. That is, we'll say, a very general or basic definition of yichud. Is it permitted for a man to be alone in private with another woman other than one's own wife? So it depends on who the woman is. Can a son be alone with his mother? Can a father be alone with his daughter? And needless to say, the issue concerning yichud, sometimes referred to the isur of yichud, the prohibition of being alone, is the fact that it could lead to a state of forbidden intimacy, being that they are alone and in total private. There is no deterrent other than a deep feeling of fear of the Almighty. Ayin ro'ah v'oizen shomas, the ubiquitous eye and ear. The Mishnah now continues. Lo yisyached odom im shtei noshim. A person shall not be alone. A man shall not be alone with two women. Aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim. One woman can be alone with two men. Rabbi Shimon Oimer af ish echod misyached im shtei noshim. According to Rabbi Shimon, and the reading that we're adopting in this Mishnah as part of our shir will be based on the Girsa of Tosfos. There are other approaches, and we're just taking one of them. Rabbi Shimon says that one man can be alone with two women. The Tanakhama, who said one man shall not be alone with two women, will be explained why that is in the Gemara. As far as a woman being allowed to be alone with two men, the reason for that is that one of the men would be embarrassed to conduct an act of intimacy with her in the presence of another man. So you have this, well, sense, this busha factor, the sense of embarrassment that exists when you're dealing with the two men. And as we said, we're following the reading of the Tosfos, even though I'm emphasized there are those that challenge this, we continue, Ubizman Shiishto Imo, in a situation where a man's wife is with him, Yoshein Imoyen Bepundiki, a man can be in an inn with other women, because his wife is going to guard him. She will be a major deterrent from him behaving immorally with other women. According to the Tosfos, this expression, this section of the Mishnah, is in accordance with the Rabbanon as well. Misyached Adam im imo vimbito, a man can be alone with his mother or with his daughter, viyoshen imoem bekiruv basar, and he can sleep with them while both are unclothed, v'im higdilon, if they mature, if they mature, they reach a certain age, zu yishena b'ksuso v'zeh yoshen b'ksuso, then she must be clothed and he must be clothed. The Rashi on v'yoshen imohem mentions haben im imo, a son with his mother, uba odo katan ka'omar, while he's still quite young. Diyoshein imo bekiruv basar kinem mefarsh v'yosel. The Mishnah allows a mother with her rather young son. The Gemara deals with the ages, with the level of maturity, but for the time being, Rashi says uba odo katan, when he's quite young, the mother and son can be sleeping in the same bed, bekiruv basar, literally means their flesh touching one another, obviously not in an act of sexual intimacy, but unclothed. And the Rashi continues, Higdilu ze yoshem b'ksuso, v'chein habas im avia ba'oda ketana, and similarly with regard to a daughter while she is quite young with her father. The Gemara opens with the question, my taima, why does the Mishnah say that one man shall not be alone with two women? And Rashi says, my taima lo yisyachid im shtei noshim ki isho shem yisyachedis im shnei anoshim. Why the difference? In the case of one woman with two men, we allow, but one man with two women, we do not allow, according to the Tanakhama. Why is that? Tono debe Elio. So we have the following teaching that says, Hayu v'noshim daiton kalois alehem. Rashi says, daiton kalois alehem. Without translating that expression, the result of Da'aton kalo aleim ushtan noichos lehispatois. We'll say the female psyche is different than the male psyche, and this is not a religious statement per se, but it's an acknowledged, we'll say, psychological reality that the male psyche is different than the female psyche, and as a result, the chances of, we'll say, a feeling of submission and yielding when it comes to two women is much more likely than the opposite scenario. So that if you have one man and he decides to have intimacy with one of the women, it's within the realm of possibility. It's likely that the other woman will yield to his approaches as well. And we mentioned before, based on Rashi, that is in stark contrast to the case of two men and one woman, where even if she's willing to yield to one of the men, he would be too embarrassed to conduct an act of intimacy in the presence of his male friend. The Gemara continues, Mino Hani Mili. What is the the basis, what is the source for that which we taught in the Mishnah. And amongst the things we taught in the Mishnah was that a man can be alone with his mother. We said Nisyachid Odomim Imo. And at the same time, he cannot be alone with other forbidden relatives. So what's the basis for this? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Remez Liyichud Minatora Minayin. Where is there an allusion in the Torah to the prohibition of a man being alone with another woman? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ki yisischa ochicha ben imecha. Now this Pasuk is in the context of a person trying to seduce others into idolatry. Trying to, we'll say, promote heresy. So the Pasuk says that, and it shall be when your brother from the common mother tries to seduce you into heresy. V'chi ben aim mesis ben av eno mesis. Is it reasonable to say that only the son from a common mother might be liable to that heinous attempt? And the son from a common father, in other words, brothers from a common father, one would not try to seduce his brother into heresy, into idolatry. Why does the Pasuk emphasize this particular relationship of brothers from a common mother? Ella, so rather, you have to understand the Pasuk out of context. In other words, the Torah is slipping in to this prohibition of promotion of heresy another halacha. And what's the other halacha that the Torah is slipping in, is hinting to? Elolomar loch ben misyachidim imo. A son is allowed to be alone with his mother. V'osur lisyachidim kol arayas shebetorah. While being prohibited in being alone with all other forbidden relatives mentioned in the Torah. So from the unusual choice of relationship when dealing with a seemingly unrelated topic of promotion of heresy, we see that the scenario presented is, the allusion in the scenario presented is a ben imecha, meaning a son being alone with his mother. That, as I said, is a remez, a hint in the Torah to the prohibition, the general prohibition, and the exception that we make for son with mother. The Gemara asks, that's all fine and good as far as what's the hint behind the pasuk. Pashte dekra b'maiksiv, on the simple level, this pasuk is talking about one trying to seduce another into idolatry. So on the simple level, why does the Torah pick this example of a brother trying to seduce his brother from a common mother? Omar Abaye, lo mibaya komar. So the Torah is to be understood in the lo mibaya format. What does lo mibaya mean? It's in the I don't have to tell you format. Lo mibaya ben av, the sunny le vayetz le etzis rois. I don't have to tell you about two brothers from a common father. There's a certain sense of competition, of strife between brothers from a common father. In what sense? In the sense that the laws of inheritance pertain to brothers from a common father. Brothers from a common father, even though they may have different mothers, they are competing in inheritance for the same estate. so that if there was only one brother instead of two brothers, and there's only one son, he would inherit the entire estate. Now that there's a brother, he's going to get only half. And if there were three brothers, he'd get only a third. So every succeeding brother minimizes the amount of inheritance that any previous brother would be able to benefit from. So one brother looks upon his other brother when they're from common fathers with a sense of strife, literally a sense of hatred. That might sound a little too harsh, but that's the translation of sonile. So as a result of this sense of strife, there is the possibility that one brother would give evil counsel to his other brother. So when you're receiving counsel from a brother from a common father, you're not going to take it so seriously because you know he has this agenda. So the Torah doesn't have to tell you about a brother from a common father giving you counsel to follow idolatry that you're not going to listen to him. Elo afilu ben aim delo sonile. Two brothers from a common mother. Each one has a separate father. They're not striving with one another because the inheritance is based on the father of the children. They have separate fathers, so that brother number one isn't going to be receiving anything from the estate that brother number two is receiving. Their commonality is only through a common mother. So there's no sense of strife. Emot saisile, there's reason to think that if he's giving me counsel, he's giving me good counsel, and I might want to listen to him. Saisile is to heed, to listen to his counsel. So the Torah is saying, if your brother from a common mother is giving you counsel to follow an idol, you better not listen to him. Even though you might think that it's a good idea, you better not listen to him. So that's the simple meaning of the pasuk is, Kisischa chicho beni mecha, and it's your ben ein that doesn't hate you, that's not striving with you. It's a common brother through a mother. Maybe I should listen to him. Kol mashmalan, the Torah is telling me, even so, do not listen to him, because he's trying to seduce you into idolatry. Nemo masnisin delo kaabashol. Shall we say that our Mishnah, I would like to suggest, according to the way we read the Mishnah, so we'll focus this question regarding the Tanakhama. Shall we say that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is not in accordance with Abashol, the Sanya? We have a Tanaic source, and if you focus immediately on that which is dashed, underlined in the source, you see Abashol says, Be'ish echod ushtei noshim. The possibility of one man being alone with two women is acceptable. Our Mishnah, in the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, forbids that. So it sounds like our Mishnah is not like Abashol. Now, what's the case? On the side, we have, by the way, a topic heading. Haim yesh la'atir ish echad im shtei noshim b'shas haninus. Is there room to allow one man to be alone with two women at the time of sadness, at the time of extreme mourning? Aninus is a period of time when someone is bereaved and the deceased has not yet been buried. So there's a certain sense of intense mourning and preoccupation with the death. At a time like that, one might think that issues of immorality are far from a person's consciousness, and therefore we can be lenient and allow one man to be with two women. So now, with that background in mind, we have a source, and it opens with a case of a child dying within its 30 days of life. Kol shloshim yom yotzei b'cheik v'nikbar b'isha echas u'shnei anoshim. If a child dies at that very early age, less than 30 days, so the child is carried out and buried by the mother, or with the mother, or a woman, and two men. In other words, you don't need a public type funeral. It's enough to have three people, as we just illustrated. Avol lo beish echad ushte noshim. However, we will not allow the funeral of this infant to take place with one man and two women. Once again, one woman with two men is acceptable. However, one man with two women is unacceptable. They are going to be alone. And by the way, you can see that we're not dealing necessarily with we're not limiting the prohibition of yichud to an enclosed private room, but it's rather an area where there are no others passing through. Such would be the case of a cemetery that's located out of town. You don't expect other people to go by. So the concept of yichud has relevance there as well. Abashol omer af beish echad ushtei noshim. We will allow one man and two women. So that would seem to suggest that our Mishnah is not like Abishol, which prohibited, our Mishnah prohibited one man to be alone with two women. The Gemara responds, Afilu Tema Abishol, our Mishnah can be in line with Abishol. Abishol is not necessarily so lenient. Here's an exceptional case, Bishas Aninus Tovir Yitzrei. At the time of extreme mourning, then the Yetzer, the evil inclination, Tovir, is broken. The evil inclination is not active at a time like that. The Rabbanon Savri Law, Karibi Yitzchak. The Rabbanon means the first opinion in the source we read, the first opinion preceding Abishol, the Tanakama, is Machmir, even Bishas Aninus. And hence his ruling of we do not allow one man with two women. Rabbanon Savri lo Rabbi Yitzchok. The Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Yitzchok. The Yom Rabbi Yitzchok. Ma yisoinen odom chai gever al chatov. That's a pasuk. Afilu b'shas aninuso shel odom. Even when a person is in a state of extreme sadness, Yitzro mizgavulov, the evil inclination gets all the stronger. So that's the approach of the Rabbanan. From based on this pasuk, the word yisonein associated with aninus, what's a person to do to overcome his sins? Indicating that even at the time of aninus, the sinful behavior is a likelihood. The Abishol ki ksivahu, Abishol, who is in fact lenient. What does he do with this pasuk of Mayasoni Odom Chai Gever Lachatov? What does he say about that? So he says that's Bimisroim Almidois of Ksiv. That's not referring to how a person behaves at the time of his extreme sadness, but rather the pasuk has a totally different meaning. This is a pasuk regarding a person that complains regarding the way heaven deals with him. How can a person come and have complaints against the way the Almighty deals with him? Has he, or maybe the reading should be, did he overcome his sins? Has he suppressed his sins? No, a person sins. So how in the world can a person come to complain about the way God deals him his hand? Dayo chayim shenosati lo. It's enough that he has life that I've given to him. So if a person has life and he has setbacks in life, he has no reason for complaining until he can assure us that he's sin free. As long as a person has sins, he has to anticipate puranus, punishment. He has to anticipate being dealt a bad hand, and at the same time be forever grateful that he still has the breath of life. Rashi across the mirror says along these lines, Ma'isan in Adam, Lama Yisainain Adam Chai, Lama Yisraim Adam Al Kuros Habos Halav. How can a person complain about the setbacks that he has? Acher Kol Acheset Shneyosimo, after all the good loving kindness that I show him, Shenosati Lo Chayim, for Lo Evesi Olav Misa, I've given him life and not brought upon him any death. So the two approaches to the pasuk, as we've seen, the Rabbanan who have a strict approach to this matter, based on the pasuk of Ma Yisoinin Adam Chai Gever Achatov, they take it to mean that even during the time of Oinein, of Aninus, of extreme sadness, a person is still challenged to overcoming his sins. He's still under the influence of the evil inclination. Abishol, who was lenient, doesn't take the pasuk to refer at all to a person at the time of sadness, but rather a person who has difficulties in life had better not complain to the Almighty. A person is being constantly cleansed of his sins, and hence the setbacks that he feels he's experiencing. And quite the contrary, he should show gratitude to the Almighty for the breath of life that he has in his body. The Gemara continues, V'rabonon ki hahu maisa da'i itza da'have uvda va'fikte. Here the Gemara is a rather obscure. Rashi, though, reveals the background. We take a look at Rashi on this Rabbanon response, and here the Rabbanon are answering Abba Shol's original justification on his own terms. And Rashi says, V'rabbanon, and we're looking at Rashi of toward the end of the narrow lines, Afilu tovir yitre kiddeko amris, even if it is as you claim that a person in the state of mourning, so his evil inclination is tovir, literally means is broken, nevertheless yesh lochush pomim she'ein shomaninus v'oisin atzmon ki'ilu noisin tinok meis v'yoitzin lavera. There are times where, in reality, there is no mourning, but they make themselves out as if there is mourning. So that if you're dealing with a situation where you think a woman, let us say, is carrying out her baby to be buried with two men, in fact, correct myself. Even if you think that a woman is taking her baby out to be buried, sometimes it's all a charade. And they make themselves as if a baby is being taken out to be buried, and they're going out actually for immorality. Kiahu uvda, there was an incident, dahi itza, involving a woman, vafikte latinoik chai becheskas meis, and she carried out a live baby under the pretenses of it being dead, lasos avera imaholich imo lekovro, to conduct immorality with the one that was going to accompany her out there to be buried. So the reliance upon what appears to be a burial of a child, one cannot be so sure that that's what's really taking place. We continue in the Gemara. Avol isho achas misyachedesim shnei anoshim. On the side of the Gemara, in an attempt to introduce the markings, we have a triangle and a double underline. These are series markings. And on the side, we've written shnei halochis shel Rabbi Yudah Marav, two halochis that are featured by Rav Yudah Marav, whose name appears in the triangle, Shebahem Magbilim Dina Mishnah, the law of the Mishnah is restricted, V'omrim Lo Shonu, Hadiktoni, D'Ishachas M'siachedisim Shnei Anoshim Ela, the allowance of the Mishnah for a woman to be alone with two men is restricted, as we will see. So, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Shanu, that which the Mishnah says one woman alone with two men is okay, Elo B'Ksherim, provided the two men are proper individuals, are kosher individuals, Aval B'Prutzim, if they are of loose morality, Afilu Be'Asora Nami Lo, even 10 would not be acceptable. One woman with 10 men of ill repute, of loose morality, we cannot allow that. Have a maisa, there was an incident, Votsiua Asora B'Mita, where 10 men practice an act of immorality with one woman. There's a Rashi, Votsiua Asora Anoshim B'Mita, Becheskas Shimesa, Rashi on the third line under the Gemara, 10 men carried a woman out on the under the pretenses that she was dead. The Kukulima, the Ashishisha, she was a married woman, and she participated in this public this group act of immorality. And again, we repeat, she was a married woman, making it the capital offense that it was. So the ruling of the Mishnah that it's okay with one woman to be alone with two men, that's assuming that they are people of repute. The Gemara continues, Omar of Yosef Teda, the Michbiri Be Asora, the Ganvi, Kshura Velo Michsefi Mehadodi. We can show you from life experience that if you're dealing with people of ill repute, they'll have no reservations in a group act of theft. 10 will get together and carry and steal a heavy beam that requires all 10 to carry, and they're not embarrassed from one another that they're all participating in an act of theft. Neimo misayale, can we say that the following supports Rav? The Tanaic source quoted now is from the incident of an Isha Sota, a woman who is suspect of having behaved immorality with another man, and she is taken to the base Hamigdash for the Sota ritual, where she drinks water in order to determine whether or not the suspicions are founded or whether she's innocent. So it says in that context, Umoisum lo shnei tamidi chachamim, shema yavoi oleo baderech. Two Torah scholars are provided to accompany her on the way to the Beis Hamikdash. Tamidi chachamim in shia d'alma lo. The insistence seems to be upon Torah scholars, but not commoners. Why is that? It would be then a. Why is that? Because of what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav expressed above in his concerns, limiting the allowance of the woman to be alone with two men only if they're kosher, like the case of two Talmidei Chachamim, two Torah scholars. The Gemara says that's not the reason for the emphasis on Torah scholars. Shiny Talmidei Chachamim, the presence of Chachamim is really necessary. The Yadi, we continue at the top of Daf Pei Aleph, Lasriye Bay. They know to warn the husband who is taking his wife to the Beis HaMikdash for the Sota ritual, to warn him not to have intimacy while on the way there. Not to have intimacy with his wife, because as long as she is under this suspicion of having behaved immorally, he, the husband, is prohibited to her. So the presence of the Talmid Chachamim is to serve as a source of warning if he should decide to practice forbidden intimacy with his wife. But it's not a proof to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Gemara continues with the next triangle case. As we mentioned, we're at the top of Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Loi Shanu Elo Be'ir. The teaching of the mission of one woman with two men is acceptable. That's only while in town, while in a settled area. Aval Baderech, but on a road, Ad Shu Shloisha. There we insist on three people. Shema yitzterech echad mehem lahashtin, if there were only two men and one had to relieve himself, had to urinate, then in doing so he will distance himself from the others. He'll in effect be leaving the man and woman alone. V'nimtza echad misyachin ma'erva, and then you'd have a situation of one man alone with a forbidden woman. Therefore, Rav Yudama Rav says we require on the road a minimum of three men with the woman in the event that one of them needs to relieve himself, so two men are still left with her and she's not alone with a man. Neimo Mesayale, an attempt again to bring proof to Rav Yudama Rav, is from the same source we quoted before, where in this quote we notice that in fact there are three people with the sota. Moisum lo shnei tamini chachomim shemo yavo alo baderech trei v'yu, two, as mentioned in the source, and the husband himself. Hotlasa, here you have three men. And it's maybe worth noting that here you don't have the convenience of a husband-wife relationship, because this husband is right now prohibited to the wife. So how many men are necessary? We can't even leave the husband alone with his wife because they are forbidden. So how many men are necessary according to the Tanaic source? Three men. That would seem to support Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The Gemara says not so. Hasam, the reason for the two Talmidei Chachamim is ki hechi dinevu alei sadi, so that they could serve as witnesses, and the minimum number of witnesses if something goes wrong would be two witnesses. They would therefore you need to have three men, meaning the husband and two Talmidei Chachamim, which would in potential serve as witnesses to testify if the husband has forbidden intimacy with his wife while on the way. Rav Ravuda Havukazli Burcha, these two great Amoroyim were on the road, two great rabbinic figures, Hava Ka'azla, Ha'itzo Kamayo, and behold, there was a woman walking in front of them. Amar Le Rav, the Rav Yehuda, Dal Karech Mekami Gehenim. Dal means to pick up, Karech, your feet, means let's walk quickly, so that instead of walking behind her, we'll walk ahead of her, because as we are now, we're walking into purgatory. And I was walking behind the woman with all that entails and all kinds of potential thoughts of immorality that enter the male mind is an invitation to purgatory. So Rav said to Rav Yehuda, you know, let's walk quickly to get in front of her so as to escape purgatory. But you, Rav, said, Rav Yehuda asks Rav, you said that two men with a woman is acceptable. So what's the problem? So Rav said, yes, I said, b'ksherim. Mi'emar de b'ksherim kagon anovad. Who says we're ksherim? The standard of ksherim, the standard of upright morality, who says we meet that standard? Elo kagon mai. So if not us, then who? This is an earth-shattering piece of Gemara. Here we're dealing with the all-time greats, Rav and Rav Yehuda, and Rav is testifying about himself and Rav Yehuda, who says that we meet the standard of morality. Well, then who could possibly have been meant by Rav's original statement that ksherim, it's okay? The Gemara answers, kagon Rabbi Chanina bar Popi v'chaverov. In order to appreciate the answer, so we direct you to the end of the first parak of this Masechta to see how great the heights a person can reach when it comes to matters of modesty and morality, as was illustrated by Rabbi Chanina bar Popi and the others in that Gemara. The end of the first parak of this Masechta. So being that we've learned it already, we're not going to elaborate. It suffices to say, you turn back to Daf Mem, and you can see Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Bar Papi, Rabbi Tzadok, Rav Kahana, all featured in the first perek. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.